Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and good morning. Welcome everybody to Everlasting Covenant, Free from Paul. It is December 25th, 2022 on Freedomizer Radio. And hello, Chris and Brandy. Shalom.
Hello, shalom, Rachel.
Hi.
This is Chris. Brandy's still doing something in the back room there, but she'll be joining us shortly.
All right. Sounds good.
How are you today?
Doing well, thank you. I just had a breakfast with my friends. Hi.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
All right.
Great to be here. Great to be here. Good.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope Ron gets to dial in as well.
Yeah, so, and I think Weed will be joining us too.
Yeah.
Or he said he was training.
That's Ron.
Or Ron.
Ron,
yeah.
Yeah, same thing. It's funny to call him Weed. Hi, Weed.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Ron.
Well, he's Weed, not a terror, so I don't think he'll be offended.
Uh-oh.
Hey. I got some people calling me a tear, though, for speaking up against things right now. it's kind of funny.
Right. It is funny, because it's the tares that wish to remain hidden amongst the field of the wheat, not vice versa.
So we have a praise report.
Awesome.
We had a brother ask us to be in a group on Facebook, and we said yes. And then we got to reading. We were joined, and then we got to reading, and we're like, oh, there's a lot of Paul in.
It was a pro-Paul
group. And so we texted him back and said we prematurely said yes, and we apologize for that, but we shared our testimony about where we were at on call, and it went really good, and he understood, and then he came back like two different times after that and has been asking us questions, and so we got to share really truth, and I believe it's a seed, and it's going to grow, and because I believe he's a truth seeker, so we're just praising Yahweh for that, and that was
that group had asked questions before you could join, and some of their questions were like, I can't agree to that,
so it was kind of hard because we didn't want to we'd never want to hurt anybody's feelings, but we had to go back and say, look, we just can't do this. But it ended up turning out really good.
Yeah. It's kind of along the same lines, and some people might think it's silly, but I don't think it is, spiritually anyway. It's one of the reasons I won't get on the Discord platform. because I will join with Discord. And, you know, I mean, some people might say, well, you're missing out or this or that, but it's like, I don't believe I am, and where I am is where I need to be, and it all makes sense to me that way. So I just like to keep it that way. That's to the intent that I like to, like, even words that I'm joined with, that I don't like to be, I don't want to be associated with Discord. I want to be associated with Shalom and reaching out to get along, not seen as someone who is all about disruption or not being satisfied with the thing. Because we know that Yahuwah is opposite. He is about bringing satisfaction and about bringing restoration to all the places where discord resides. Just a little side note.
Yeah.
And not any condemnation.
I may be underthinking it, but I just see it as a platform that they named Discord. And, you know, there can be Accord and Discord in any platform. So I don't have a problem getting on Discord to fellowship or whatever if I feel led to go to that fellowship. But it's just a platform to me. But anyway, I understand convictions to stand on certain things. So I support you in your decision. For
yeah.
sure. Anyway.
So, yeah, we know a lot. I was going to say, there's no condemnation, like, from us, or we don't, we know a lot. I mean, we know a lot of people that are on there. We in our own personal walk, we just, sometimes we see these arrows coming and we're like, oh, you know, we don't need that. And I tried a while when it first became popular, I tried to get on there and it was just very frustrating for me. And Chris said, just don't join. And I was like, okay. So it was, anyway,
you can move on. You can choose not to be.
We love people that are on there. We don't mean to, cause discord on.
That's funny.
I think it's funny you bring up Discord because the first person that told me to join Discord, he's all about Discord. It was somebody that I used to fellowship with, and like we did like the first live stream like I've ever done was with him, and he's always like,
yeah,
join my Discord, and like I just never did. But the funny thing about this guy was this is before I found out about Balls, this years ago. When I brought out all the stuff about Paul, like mountains of evidence, he like stopped being my friend. He's like he's the one who told me, quote, you're an enemy of the gospel. because I was like bringing out truth about Paul.
Yeah.
The worldly gospel of
yeah.
Rome. Yeah.
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 You know that does that is hard because. When you're a Berean, you study, or you're just barely reading the word, and you see these things, and you bring in, and Paul is like, to me, is like the number one thing that people, they get angry over. When you're just simply, to me, I would say, oh, okay, well, I need to take a look at this. Or if it made me mad, if I was on the other side and I was mad about it, I would go home and study it out because that's how I am. It's like if something, I was like, huh, I wouldn't like, you know, disfellowship.
Beat up the other person or disfellowship
yeah.
or excommunicate them over the words of another man.
Have you noticed that it seems to me that one, like it might be the number one topic that people get the most angry about. Like you can talk against like anything. It's like blasphemy. It's like to these people, it's like speaking against Paul is like the highest form of blasphemy. I've seen people get so angry about Paul, and then I've seen them like not really speak up when people are saying like, "Oh, there is no Yahushua, like the New Testament's fake, like Yahushua's a lie,"
right.
And they don't think
someone
says something about Paul, and they're up in arms.
Good point. Yeah, I have noticed it. It's not a rare thing these days. It's Paul or about whether or not we should eat dead animal carcass. those two things really get under the skin of folks and mm-hmm. and make their eyes turn black and their noses long when they start talking about it.
Or well, yeah, and, you know, I think it goes hand in hand.
Their countenance can do, but yeah.
Well, Paul's the one who says you could eat, you know, eat anything that's sold at the meat market with no questions of conscience. Paul's the one who says that.
Yep.
He said something about eating food sacrificed to idols. Just don't do it in front of weak people. Like that, doesn't that sound sound wicked to someone? He says, you can eat anything, just don't eat in front of weak people.
Unless you cause them
that's
to stumble.
Wicked.
Yeah.
That is
yeah.
wicked. That's not loving your brother as your neighbor as yourself.
He's basically saying, he's like, yeah, you can break the law, just
do
don't
behind,
do it in front of people who can't handle it. Yeah.
If you know someone's going to be offended by it, just make sure they're not there while you're breaking the law.
Right.
Yeah, he's like you can eat pork that's been sacrificed to Satan. Just take it behind closed doors and enjoy. Paul would say.
Yeah. Well, even the
I
the
think
set
it
of,
all goes back
the
part
to times, he also poo-poos. Well, any days that you can, you know, worship the Messiah on any day. And we can, and we do, but there are also still, there's something about the set-apart days of his appointed feast that add to the relationship of walking with him.
Well, I was going to say, like, about bringing up about Paul or that you shouldn't eat meat. It's people don't want to make these like lifestyle changes. They like having their ears tickled and, you know, all they have to do is, you know, believe and have, you know, grace.
They got the blood of Jesus
covering. Yeah, all they need to do
is
believe
very
and confess with their mouth, and that requires no like. If you take away work, it requires that requires doing nothing at all, just believing. That's like the whole world. Like how many millions of people? Maybe is it millions or billions of people? Do you think believe?
Believe. Oof, probably
yeah.
Millions.
So millions of people just believe. So do you think are millions of people on a is millions of people? Does that sound like a narrow path?
No.
No.
I've certainly thought about this before.
No. Yeah. So if there's millions of people and all they have to do is believe, then like I was saying to that one guy, what's the point of the judgment? If all you have to do is believe, and it's going to be a judgment, it's just a yes or no question. Like, did you believe? Yes? Okay. Everlasting life. Did you believe? No. Okay. Like, damnation, forever. That's not a judgment. Like I said, instead of judgment day, it would be question day. Like, one question. Like, did you believe? You know, that could have, like, an automated button. You wouldn't need a judge. There wouldn't be a point of a judgment. It's just like a yes or no question. But, you know, just
great.
Like with our eternal life, you know, our life now, like, if you want, like, you have to work to, like, obtain anything. You have to work for things in life. So why wouldn't you have to work for your eternal life? You know what I'm saying here?
Definitely.
I do. And I believe that's that by belief, when we follow after and look to be pleasing to our Maker, He gives us things to do, and that's His works that we are doing. It's His works that is showing compassion to our neighbor and doing the works of kindness and of consideration and looking out for others where need is. And to me, that's of the Father, and that's His works because that's where He is known. It is through His works that His love is shown. I mean, you can go around and say, I believe, but it's an ethereal thing. It's like this, I mean, what makes it real? Show to me how you believe. I think that's what James get into. And when he says, I will show you my belief by my works. Even Messiah said that. Even if you don't believe me, believe the works that I do. Because it's of the Father that these works come through. And it's only those who have been called by the Father love or are able to express it. And to me, that is the spiritual that turns into the material works of our Father that all men will be judged by. For all men will be judged by their works. And may it be that all men have some form of the works of the Father in them that, you know, because everything of flesh is going to be burnt up in the judgment. As you so succinctly said, it's not just a pop quiz on your life. Do you believe? Well, what did your life look like? What did you do when you woke up in the day and when you met someone along the way and how you interacted with them? Or, you know, you saw someone in need. Did you just keep going on or did you pass them by like the parable of the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan? You know, I mean, all these things are in Scripture, but it's just come to a it seems to be a lot of people, you know, they're so busy with the world and trying to work their own empire as far as, you know, how big their house is and all the toys and everything that goes along with it, that they forgot the works of Elohim. They forgot the works of our Maker, Yahuwah, through his son, Yahusha. I mean, it's
we have a special guest
that's
on
we have
today.
Discussion. All right.
Hi.
Hello,
you can come on in.
Shalom.
Shalom.
You there?
Hello. Hi.
Oh, there you are.
Hello.
It's Olivia.
Well, hi, Olivia.
Hi, Olivia.
Hello.
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 We
All
welcome
right.
you. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, I think definitely some really good points were made on the post where I posted quite a long analysis of the difference in the everlasting covenant and the one that Christians say replaced it. And one of the foundational keys is just getting down to the bare bones, what is sin? Because when we purpose ourselves to start keeping the commandments, what I find is that a lot of people start attacking us as self-righteous when we literally, commandment keepers have literally relinquished self to the Father's will and purposed ourselves to keep his commandments. But immediately because of the perspective that people are in until they cross over and decide to relinquish themselves to the Father and they are thinking about self, their immediate thought is, oh, you think you're perfect. Oh, you think you're sinless. Oh, you must be self-righteous. And then they start with the questions, how many sins can I have and still go to heaven? And, you know, different things like that. But I think it's really important to hold on to the very simple when we get in the whirlwind of the crazy making that goes on, to remember that sin is transgression of the law and that it was Paul who changed the definition of sin to anything not done by faith. And it was very necessary for him to change the definition of sin so that he could perform his mastermind trick on delivering his own new gospel, his own new and improved good news, so to speak. So he thought, or so he wanted to convince the world.
The Greek philosophy of Rome. Yeah. But it is, it can be trying. I certainly petitions and supplications for you or for everybody that, you know, goes through this fire, so to speak, of standing up for the truth in light of the thousands of years of traditional doctrines of man that causes them to sneer when they hear the truth. or causes them to be self-righteous while claiming that the purveyors of truth are the ones being self-righteous. It's certainly why Messiah said, but you will be hated by all for my name's sake.
I think self-righteous is just like a code word to like, hey, don't pose like wickedness that we enjoy and don't call out truths that we're uncomfortable with. That's self-righteous. You know what? They just need to remove the word self, and it's righteous. It's righteous to expose wickedness. It's righteous to show people the correct path and to like remove the falsehood with verses and, you know, with verses and evidence and proof. That's not self-righteous. Remove the word self. It's righteous. It's a code word saying, be quiet, especially, you know, if you're a girl. Oh, Paul says that, you know, women need to be quiet. They'd love to just, you know, rely on their master Paul for quotes to silence us.
Yep. He certainly didn't like women. I'd read somewhere that he was actually engaged, him being Greek born, was actually went into the land and Judea and was engaged to be married, but then she spurned him at the last minute. I forget the source, but I just read that like this past week, and I was like, huh. But that was just another reason why he was so.
The rulers of evil talks about that.
Measure. Okay, but I can go look that up to look further into it. But I just thought that was interesting. Because that would certainly add to a man and the ways of man, and as far as his philosophy of his message is, why Paul would disqualify half the image of the of Elohim, saying, you know, we were made, and the image of Elohim is male and female. That's found in Genesis 1 from the beginning. So I think there's value that can be from when a female has something to say, just as well as a male has something to say. And then we should judge accordingly whether those works be righteous or not. Not just be like, oh, you're female, shut up, I don't want to hear what you have to say, or you can't speak because you're female. I mean, that's just silly.
No, I agree. And I find it interesting. I'm not sure about, you know, him getting burned by, you know, a girl he's engaged to. I'd like to see, you know, the reference on that. I believe
you can go to Rulers of Evil,
like,
and it gives a history of a lot of the Bible and goes even further into Freemasonry and the empire of the Jesuits and all of the deceptions that they created and how they built it one upon the other and how there's a hidden hand and a black pope. That there's always a black pope behind the white pope that the public sees, and nobody sees the black pope that dresses in black, and he's like the leader of the Jesuits, and just the whole empire of the evil that is behind, it's like the man behind the curtain in an entire empire that spanned over time. But yes, they do talk about Paul having fallen for it. She was basically a child at the time. I mean, you know, I don't know. They married a lot younger in those days, so I don't know the full situation. But yeah, she did not want to marry him, and I think that you're correct that that had an impact on him with.
Part of his psyche.
I find it interesting that Daniel has a prophecy about the anti-Messiah, and it said he'll have no desire for women.
Yes.
Well, it says, I don't know, there's different translations, but I've heard it that it can even be translated no respect for women, will not honor the purpose of women. There's more to it than that he himself doesn't desire women. It's, you know, you can see that he tries to put women under man's thumb. And I think through my study, it's been made very well apparent to me that women had a far more important role than we can even understand. And this whole Pauline doctrine of getting in line with your man, and the fear that people put into women that they're Jezebels if they are strong and stand, is part of the plan, part of the negative plan for women to fulfill their full duty with the father, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I was just wondering, is there anyone else in the Bible who appears to hate women as much as Paul? Not that I know of. But it does say, you know.
Only those who are abominable. In Judges, there's an instance where I forget all the names, and it's probably towards the end of the book of Judges, but there was a man's concubine, and he was visiting in a sojourning in a city, and he spent overnight, and all the, they were sodomites like they were in Sodom and Gomorrah, but they were sexually perverted people that were demanding. Yeah, they were. They were sodomites because they demanded the man come out initially, and he begged them to leave him alone, and he gave them their concubine, and they had their way with her all night, and she died from those activities. And then he cut her up into 12 pieces and sent a piece to each of the tribes of Yisrael to as a warning. I'll have to go brush up on that story. But it's always the abominable man that does wickedly to the female. That was just like in the days of Lot, too. They did the same thing to his daughters, although they didn't die. Being derisive towards women is works of those who work abomination, as far as Scripture points out, that I can tell.
Well, and I think so much of his – hold on. My daughter's not understanding. I need her to take me off speaker. Can you take me off speaker, Olivia? Because I'm hearing an echo, and it's messing with my thoughts and causing too many pauses. Thank you. I think if we can momentarily remove his hatred for women and think about his strategy as well, I think it's duplicitous. His goals were duplicitous. He also wanted to create a hierarchy so that there could be control. And I think it's interesting that he put women under men, and very telling as to the fact that it may very well have been the opposite in creation, and that woman was created first. This is something that I feel was revealed to me, and it's not a point where I'm stuck on convincing other people of it, so I don't really talk about it often. But if you think about the fact that Earth was created first, before the flower, and you know, the flower and the animals and everything, the Earth represents the womb, and the woman gives birth. She must be. Her womb must be there before she's flowered or, you know, conception can take place. But imagine if, say, woman was created first, and that the woman was not in the sense of there being a hierarchy, because I think that is a it is twisted, just like the Messiah said that we are all brethren, but I think her role was to lead, perhaps differently, but her leadership skills are thwarted because of Paul, because of that whole spirit But if you set that aside, that he dislikes women or disrespects women, he had another goal, I feel, because he even does this to men, where he gave out all of these offices and said, some shall be prophets and some shall be apostles and some teachers and bishops and so forth and so on. And yet of all of these positions, women were to get under a man and be silent in the church. Well, if women's gift of leadership was to have spiritual discernment, to be very quick-witted in shutting down that which was not right, and to be able to see very quickly right from wrong. We've all heard it said, a woman's instinct and a mother's instinct, and yet men can have instincts and they can be very strong with some men especially, but women just seem to have a more pronounced gift from the Father or tuning into the creation and knowing about things. And so I feel like he, in order for him to pull off what he wanted to pull off, he needed to shut women down big time. And so he just wasn't going to have any of it. They just need to shut up in the church, period. They need to not talk at all. That way, when they came forward with their, that doesn't quite jive with us and such. Well, you're not even supposed to be talking. So I feel like that hierarchy served his purpose of establishing his ministry, his so-called ministry of death, but his ministry. And men, when they see something going wrong, if they're walking in the path of the Father, yes, they can stand up, but they kind of have that deal where they want to rib the other guy and get along, that like the brother club type thing, and I think it can be a little more difficult. You see Peter waffling with Paul. He did stand up to him too, which didn't make it into the Bible, and who knows, the parts where he waffled could have been changed. But you see him struggling with that, and a lot of people think that the apostles loved him and accepted him, and therefore they give Paul a stamp of approval, and that could have been watered down. But I think that there's a special place for women that really gets overlooked and stepped over instead of embraced. And I think it's where, like, I live in West Texas, so one of the very first things when you meet somebody new that they're going to ask you is, where do you go to church? And when you say, I don't, their very next question is, well, who's your covering? You don't have a pastor? And that comes straight from that Pauline, women need a cover. Single women for sure need a pastor because you don't have a husband.
So what is Messiah to them?
Exactly.
The get out of jail card. He did all the work on the cross, so I could live lawlessly, do whatever I want because I believe.
But they still claim that a woman needs a covering. But yeah, that too. Claim the blood of Jesus.
Yeah, that's all you have to do. Didn't you know?
Right. Yeah.
You know, you
think it's interesting.
Food sacrifice to idols. You could murder, lie, cheat, and steal. Just, you know, no need for repentance. No need to follow the law. Just believe and confess with your mouth. You have grace. You'll be raptured.
A Greek goddess. Yeah.
Yeah.
How that works with the Hebrew Messiah and the word of truth. And now what I find disconcerting about this grace, so to speak, is that people now, rather than something they say they receive that covers their sin, now it's an office that they fill and give that to someone else. So it's like they're raising themselves up as to be a God, so to speak, and now they're giving grace to other people. And it's like, whoa. It's like, that's really morphed into a untruth and leads a lot of people astray. But I do like, I was reading in, as far as works, we were talking about work earlier, and work was intended for man before the fall. That's in Genesis 2:5. That's before Genesis 3, where the fall came. Where, because there was no, he saw that there was no man to till the ground. And so that kind of makes what you were saying, Rachel, is about the woman created first. It's like, well, and, you know, it's like being the earth, and there's a lot of people say like earth or whatever. And I know you can get into Eastern thought mysticism and stuff. It's not good on that. But at the same time, it's the fact that he was formed from the dust of the ground and a woman was taken from his ribs. So the woman already existed was inside of him. So just like I see the Son as being invisible within the invisible Father until his appointed time to be revealed. And that is why a lot of people don't know who he is. I mean, I have no problem. Female holds precedent. It is true also in the Torah that a female is the one to diligently teach the children for the first 20 years of their life. The Torah, the instructions of Yahuwah Elohim. So a woman has a very important position in the workings of things and the knowing of our Creator and his way. And yeah, if Paul comes along with his other hierarchy and, no, you should look to be a prophet, or it's better to be an apostle, or one of these other positions, a preacher, a pastor, all these other things that aren't
female.
That's not female or even listed in the scriptures. It's a made-up thing. Very interesting.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, if women can't speak, why did Yahusha, when he was raised, he spoke to Mary Magdalene and said, you go tell, you, female Mary Magdalene, you tell the disciples this. The Messiah specifically told Mary Magdalene, instructed her to go tell the disciples this, with the instructions. And also, you know, anyone who believes, Paul, that women can't teach, they need to be quiet and all this, what about all the female prophets? What about, you know, Anna? She prophesied in the temple of men in Luke. There was Deborah. She was, in Judges. There was Philip's daughters in Acts. Miriam in Exodus. There's, you know, Noadiah, Judith. You know, Esther.
Wives of the prophets.
Were they silent? Yeah. They were the prophetess. And they were not silent. You know, there's books named after women. Have you read Judith? I think that's a great book. It's in the Apocrypha.
I don't know that I read that. I'll have to read that.
Yeah.
Or it's been a long time since I have.
Story. Judith. No, she stayed. She stayed, Yasharal. You know, it's. I'm not. I don't want to give up the story. It's exciting. I had a great time. I one Shabbat where I just read that.
It was awesome. Look forward to it.
Yeah.
What's it called again?
The Book of Judith.
Judith.
Or if you have like the Hallelujah scriptures, I think it's Yahudit.
A crowd.
Like Yahuda, Yahudit.
Too many people pray the gospel, which is what a woman does.
So I'm curious. I'm intrigued because. The way I'm wired is I like to know why people believe the things that they believe. So I'm curious, Rachel, about the woman coming first. And we don't have to talk about this right now if you don't want to, but I'd appreciate talking about it more.
There have been so many things that I've been shown, and I know a lot of people would, like, poo-poo that whole idea in the first place, but and I understand why. I mean, I'm very skeptical when people say that they've been shown something, but there have been other things in my life that he impressed upon me to show me, and such as Flatter, such as Paul. And I kept feeling for about 6 weeks like he was trying to show me something about creation, and like the woman being made first I kept seeing her being made from the dust of the earth, and Adam wasn't around. And the moments where this would just pop into my spirit, the absence of the story as it's written was so profound, and the message that he was bringing to me was so profound that I actually had to stop and think, well, wait, how did it happen in the Bible? Which we all know very clearly how it happened in the Bible. But that's how strong the impression was, that it was almost strong enough to erase my memory of what we all know. And then I just started thinking, the great switcheroo, what if it started in the beginning, in the very beginning? And thinking about the fact that the story of Cain and Abel was switched in order that we might all believe that the Father honors sacrifice, when the actual sacrifice that he accepted was the one of plants, and Cain killed Abel, but Abel was the one that had the grain, and so in the true story, Cain kills Abel, correct?
Yes, yeah. Well, how it's written, yes.
That's true in the switcheroo also, but they're in the how it's written, Abel had the sacrifice and the animal sacrifice, and Cain had the vegetarian or the grain, and the Father honored Abel in the way that it's written in the Bible, and because of the lamb sacrifice or whatever animal it was, and Cain was jealous. Well, in the story of the book of Adam and Eve, Cain kills Abel, but Cain is the one with the animal sacrifice, and Abel was the one with the grain sacrifice, and Cain was jealous because his sacrifice of the animal was not accepted. Well, if that got out, then millions of people would not be deceived, and would not, perhaps, there would be fewer people deceived by the purpose not to shed blood or participate in the shedding of blood, or making your own body a grave for an animal. So the scribes, the lying scribes, who purposed to switch things around to hide the truth, changed that so that they could push forward their own agenda. Well, it was just very pronounced in my spirit during these 6 weeks that was not the first switcheroo, that the first switcheroo was who was made first. And, you know, I've really hesitated in bringing it forward publicly. I know a lot of, I suppose men especially, but a lot of people, and like you said too, it can, you know, a lot of esoteric and altered religions believe, you know, goddess instead of God and all sorts of things. But at any rate, I I am open to the idea that it very well may have been the first switcheroo, that Eve was made first, and Adam made second, you know?
Yeah. Do you think that maybe that the story would hold that? I just like to think about these things. I'm not holding you to anything. I'm interested. Do you think that Eve, in that scenario, Eve would have been created first and then out of her side? Is that what was like the story?
I really don't
Adam
know. I don't know if it would have been out of her side or out of her womb, or I really don't know. Or, I mean, for that matter, they could have both been created. I don't know, side by side. Mm-hmm. I really don't know.
Okay. I was just curious. I was like, you know, following along. And what about this? I asked those questions. I have not read Adam and Eve all the way through. Years ago, I picked it up, and then for some reason, life happened, and I didn't get to. Maybe I barely started it because I don't. I mean, I'm familiar with it, but I don't remember the story. Like, I need to go back and read it. Chris and I have talked about Cain and Abel being switched, and I'll let him speak on what he feels like. But I also know there's people that believe that they weren't switched, but it was Abel that brought the animals. And he took care of
them. Yeah, that's
what
I was just saying. They weren't switched as far as he was killed, but their sacrifices were switched.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, thank you for sharing that because it does intrigue me. It's interesting. I'm interested in anything that like that little Sunday school church houses don't want to talk about. I like talking about that stuff. It's getting to know our Creator, really. It is. It's getting to know, you know, we believe that the Creator is male and female, and, you know, we're made in His image. So to me, it's like it's easy to see like He would make a pair at one time because He's so awesome that when He puts His intentions out to create, it's always more than one. Like he multiplies just by creating because He's just so awesome. Like a human can put their hands to work and they can create this one thing and they'll create another one thing and another one. But Yahuwah is just, you know, he's magnificent, our Creator. So thanks for sharing.
Sure.
And there is something certainly intriguing, I think, in the Genesis 1:1 where it talks about in the beginning Elohim created Aleph Tah, which represents the word, the heavens and Aleph Tah, the earth. And then in Genesis 2:4, I believe it is, it says, in the day that Yahuwah created the earth and the heavens, which is a reverse order of Genesis 1:1. And it's the first instance of the hand behold, nail behold, the yod heh-wah-heh.
The earth,
But it's also, when I look at the hand behold, nail behold of in the picto, I mean, I see two people connected by hand. So if that's the essence of who He is, then I believe that's, I mean, in a very simplistic way, through symbology, I see that who He is basically two people connected. That's how I put the image of His image being male and female. It's like we're different in many ways, but we're also the same, like physically.
And you're not incomplete if you're just a male or if you're just a female. You're not incomplete.
To be connected, the two become one, which is what the connector is. It's like a Y, you know. But if you look at it from the top down, it's like two paths converging to become one. And that is what we're supposed to be. I mean, where he even says that in Genesis 2, as far as, you know, when one leaves to go get married to find a wife, then the two become one. So very intriguing.
What do you think about it, Ron?
Hey, sorry, I missed all that. I had to make the kittens dinner. I'm sorry.
He was making the kitties dinner.
Yeah.
You're fine. It's good. You'll have to go back and listen to it because I don't think we could repeat what all we said. It was a lot. We were talking about the creator being male.
No,
or
I had it on speaker.
Oh, okay.
What?
Okay. We were just talking about the creator.
The female came first.
That the you know, whether the female or the male came first. Those are the things we were talking about.
I do think it would be an interesting world if this were correct from the standpoint of the hundreds of years of it being a so-called man's world and men keeping, you know, inheritances from women, keeping the ability to read from women, the ability to rule from women, you know, just all of the men in the corporate world until very recently. And it would be so like the father to be like, you know, you all thought that it was this way and it wasn't. And not to say, having said that women should be in all those places instead of the man, and they should be over the man. That whole system is Pauline, the hierarchy. But that the woman would be as present as the man in these types of roles. And, you know, I mean, look at, was it Queen Anne, Queen Elizabeth's mother? But the queen that broke all the rules, she wasn't married, and she was the mightiest and longest standing queen of England. You know, it's just interesting, you know, that people get it in their heads because of what boils down to the sex of a person. They think that your abilities lie in sex organs. I mean, it's like, how do we even come up with such an idea? It's like, you know, you shouldn't be talking because you were born with these sex organs, and you should be a ruler because you were born with these sex organs. It's like, it's, you know, our skills and our ability are not part of our body. It, you know, they're part of our intellect, our intuition, our relationship with the Father. And I think it's just a move to create that hierarchy to clip the wings of the anointed, honestly. And
yeah.
if the enemy can get half the population in bondage automatically because of their sex, so he's got the women wrapped up in complete bondage. Now he's just got to work on the men. So he gets them in a system of hierarchy where the high ones are bound because they want to hold on to their power, and the low ones are bound because they're subservient to the high ones. So that whole system of hierarchy, that's what I want people to hear when I even propose this idea. I'm not trying to propose that women should be over men. I'm saying that the system itself was created for us to be in bondage for the purpose of not knowing the truth. And if we can understand that, it's really not important at the end of the day, to me at least, whether I'm right or wrong, or you know, I'm not even saying that I'm right. It's just that I feel like he was definitely showing me this, and could it have been just for, you know, what if? I don't know. I guess we'll all know one day. But I think that the point of the matter is that if we can realize that the system has been created to put us in bondage, and that if we can open our minds and realize that the great switcheroo that happened is why we see everything backwards, and for that reason, we need to pray for him to undo the switcheroo in our own hearts and minds so that we can be free, if that makes sense.
It does.
And the thing is the fullness of the Creator is kind of smothered if you have a Pauline attitude towards women. And that's what I hear you saying, is that,
right,
you know, you're not that one comes before the other, but that the fullness of...
And a system of hierarchy promotes pride on the high end and covetousness on the low end. So, yeah, like you said, the whole system is made up for not of Yahuwah. It breaks his commands. We're to be humble and look out. And even Messiah himself said, who is greatest among you, but he who serves all. The servant is greater than, you know.
Exactly. And it's a clue to us that he would bring that up to help us realize that the hierarchy is nothing.
Right.
Really.
Because we are all living stones, as it says in another place, to be built up into his dwelling place. And there's another instance where the prophets talk about where, or even Messiah says it, that all stones will be ground into dust until not one stands atop another. That's a position of hierarchy, one stone upon another, a man above another man or woman. And we will all see shoulder to shoulder, where we said we'll stand together with not one above another. So,
oh, I love it.
I mean, that's how I see things. And so, you know, a hierarchy is of the world is, to me, is obviously wrong. And there's all kinds of ways that you can pick it apart. And those who claim it as being a superior way or from our maker, it's like, how would you know? You've never tried it the other way. You think by your physical strength that automatically you have more mental strength than the female counterpart. I mean, because that's what it comes about. I mean, I can see that the hierarchy came about because men were physically stronger than women, so they just push them aside. And then they start thinking that they're also mentally, you know, stronger. You're intellectually stronger just because they're physically stronger, and that is not true.
I'll share this testimony. I had a sister friend.
Thank you,
John. I had a sister. It kind of goes along with
what I think.
Okay.
Oh, I was going to say, I think this whole hierarchy thing is satanic. It's just divide and conquer. It's to attack the family, not, you know, to put the man against the female. And men and women, I believe, are like equally important. And Yahuwah has his ways, you know, like there's certain things that men are good, are better at, and there's certain things that women are better at. Like women are better with, you know, raising children, obviously. That's an important role, but with this whole hierarchy system and, like, you know, this whole pressure, it's like destroying the home and like making them both, like, everybody like stressing for working and paying the bills and everything. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's like another way. And like this whole hierarchy thing, it goes against Yahusha says, like, neither be called leaders. You have one leader, Mashiach. And he said, like for you are not to be called like all these titles or whatever. I'm paraphrasing. And he says, you know, we're not to have all these titles. So he said, you are all brethren. You're all brethren, and you have one teacher, and you know, one leader. He's basically saying, follow me, and you know, worship the Father, pray to the Father, and that's where a lot of this confusion comes in from Christianity. Because people, like, they think JC is the Father. You're supposed to worship JC. JC created everything. You know, the Creator's name is JC, and all this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I didn't hear, like, everything you were saying earlier about, like women were created first, but I just my opinion on that is it says in Scripture that Adam was the first human. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were just discussing it. I'm sorry. I caught you off guard, and I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, I don't know where it's all coming.
This got on to me. He said, don't put him on the spot. He didn't get on to me. He was just, yeah.
Ron, did you say it says Adam was the first woman?
Human.
Oh. Oh, I thought you said woman. Okay.
No.
But that's my point, really, because
Adam,
so much of Scripture has been switcherooed.
Yeah.
So,
I wanted to share. We were talking about the strengths and weaknesses of males and females, different things. It was years ago. There was a sister. She's married to a male chauvinist, and one time, her and I were talking, and she said that, you know, she was down on herself. She said, "I'm just not very strong." I said, "Wait a second." I said, "You are strong." I looked at her. I said, "You are strong." And he encouraged her. Look at all the stuff you go through and look at all the stuff you put up with and look how you endure and all this. You know, I was trying to show her what she did, and it really encouraged her to, because there's a lot of women that are in relationship with male chauvinists that are just beat down, but they don't know that very thing that they are enduring is evidence that they're strong. Because they keep enduring, and I know they need to not be in situations like that. But if they are, you know, the male that is dominating, that is, and he was appalling. those are the things that they use against the woman to beat them down, and we need to encourage them and say, "You are strong."
No,
I just think of all the abuse too, talking about men being stronger physically. So many men have abused their wives because they wanted that Pauline structure in their family, and instead of being loving toward them, and men have suffered abuse from women. We know that too, but it's much more common for a woman to be physically abused by her physically stronger partner. And usually behind that is a Pauline spirit of, you're supposed to be under me and do what I say and follow me.
Yep.
Well, I think that this whole thing is like satanic. It's just blurring the lines. This whole satanic agenda, like, oh, a man's not a man. Like, what's a woman? Can you define a woman? Like, oh, a woman's, you know, it could be a big umbrella of definitions. Whatever's comfortable with individual, this whole transgender nonsense. And, you know, it's just attacking what Yeshua made, Kadosh, like the family. He made we all have our important roles, and we're not supposed to be at odds with each other and being like, I'm better at this and that, or I could do your job better. Like, you know, there's harmony in Yahuwah's ways. And when you turn everything up, invert everything and make it backwards, it creates chaos and madness and you know, all these, like, unnecessary – it's divide and conquer. And, you know, I was just thinking about this, you know, the man and woman, they need each other. They need each other. The family, they need – there's roles that the father does, and there's roles that the mothers do. They're equally important, and they need each other for, like, a harmonious, functioning, happy, healthy family. And I pulled up a verse right here. I wanted to read it, all right. That shows, like, you know, together in harmony, the man and the woman become one, and you know, like a righteous, you know, and following Yahuwah's ways. That's, you know, the ancient path that we should be following. Mark 10:6-9. But from the beginning of creation, Elohim made them male and female. for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So when they are no more twain, but one flesh. So they are no more twain, but one flesh. What, therefore, Eloah had joined together, let not man put asunder. So these satanic hierarchies and all this, divide and conquer, and it's putting Yahuwah's ways, something he put together, asunder. He joined the man and woman together in harmony, and everything was going great till the snake, the serpent, came and said, did Yahuwah really say you couldn't eat this? And the same game's going on today. Paul came along and says, did the Creator really say this? Like, no. Well, the Messiah, he came to me as a disembodied light spirit, and he quoted some pagan deity, and he said, this is the way, and he died, so we're under his covering. And then the women are under our covering. We're under the covering of JC, and we just have to believe that he died on the cross, and we'll be raptured, and that's it. Do what you want. Eat pork. Eat food sacrificed to idols. Just believe and confess with your mouth, and you'll be raptured. It's just total chaos. And like we said before, he implemented the hierarchies. Apostles, bishops, yada, yada, yada. And like this trickles down to the way societies run today. CEOs and CFOs and the president, the manager, the assistant manager, et cetera, et cetera. Like, it goes against the ancient way. Yahusha says, ye are all to be brethren. You have one Leader Mashiach. You have one Eloah, the Most High. We have one Father, the Most High. And like Paul comes along and says, "Oh, I am your father." That comes back to my.
Oh, and herein lies a hierarchy at the very top of it. For Paul is Paul, and so he wants to keep everybody in line under his belief, and that's part of the switcheroo. That when you hear anything different, you need to. Basically, Titus says. I want to say destroy them. I don't know that it's worded exactly like that, but, I mean, this is why you get such a horrendous reaction when you meet a Pauline. You guys saw, there I am on Facebook talking about commandment keeping, and the guy tells me to F-O. and it's just, why? It was such a testimony to the post itself talking about our society being so backwards. You've got people wanting to defund the police and get rid of the law administrators and let chaos ensue. And you meet somebody, the one who's just kicking it up and living the pagan lifestyle is just accepted, but the commandment keeper, they think they're self-righteous, so get rid of them, or they're exposing our sin, so get rid of them. And it's cancel culture city for the commandment keeper, and they have no problem telling us where to go, but it's just, let alone set aside the religion of it, wouldn't the world be a better place if people lived by those? Thank goodness we have a Heavenly Father that has a code of ethics that is watertight and is good and is holy. Isn't living and purposing yourself to live that way a good thing? Why attack a person that's made that decision? I think it's because they jump to the conclusion that you think you're sinless. So I'm going to destroy you because that makes me mad, because I'm not and I can't be. I don't know what you guys think is the root of that, but
I think the root of that is this. John 1:5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So it's like, you know, when you hit the light switch on and cockroaches scatter, they're like they're like lawless cockroaches, and they like don't understand the light and they run away from it, but they don't have the luxury of a cockroach running away, like, you know, like on these platforms. So instead of running away, they attack. And Yahushua said, like you'll be hated for my name's sake. Like, we're proclaiming the true name, we're exposing JC, exposing all these like wicked lies, and they don't like it. So, you know, we're shining light on the darkness. They don't comprehend it. And not only do they not comprehend it, they hate us for it. We're hated for, you know, he's the truth. We hate, you know, hated for his namesake, the truth.
It exposes rotten fruit.
Right.
You know, I mean, if he's telling you to go take a hike in not so kind terms, then, you know, use an expletive, then that's rotten fruit. And it,
right.
It's just, you know, they think they're...
Not only did he tell me that, he told me, he said, has any Christian ever told you to F-O, if not, consider that I just did, and because you are also hurting young Christians or young believers? And here's the thing, believers in what? Believers in the Jesus that Paul presented, not the one that walked in the book of Matthew that said, keep my commandments, and you cannot have two masters, and call no one father but me, but the Father. Because Paul came and undid all those things in the name of Jesus. So it couldn't have been in the name of the Messiah that walked in the book of Matthew. That was the one that stuck to the Father's words. So he recreated Jesus, superimposed his image over the one that walked, died, buried, resurrected. So everybody thinks it's the same entity, but it's an image of the entity that's been changed so that he can lift his own words up and enable his own ministry. And so if somebody is a young believer in that, then they have just joined the wide gate and need to open their eyes. So I don't mind that my words are hurting young believers.
That's actually an
ability to believe. I mean, I don't want to hurt anybody necessarily. That's not a good word. But if I can plant a seed for them to see, just like a seed was planted in me, these words are different. He's changed the gospel. This is concerning. My heart is for you. I want to love you and keep the commandments. You know, then that's a good thing, because you need to divorce yourself from Babylon. People need to divorce themselves from Babylon. If they're a young believer, then they should be asking these questions. What authority does Paul come in? He changed everything, because the Father's last words in the book of Malachi, almost, his very last words were, I change not. So it's a good thing that I'm shaking the tree, I think.
Absolutely.
Well, you're waking up.
And they're not being
instead
physically
young
hurt.
Believers, they're more like, instead of young believers, they're more like young deceivers. Like, they've been deceived, and then they perpetuate that deception. So they're like young deceivers. And, you know, you're what you're doing, what we're doing, what we all want to do is expose this false Messiah that all these people, these young deceivers, believe in and follow. The Messiah that did all the work for them. You know, there's no works-based salvation. If you believe that, then the Messiah died for nothing. He did all the work for them. The get-out-of-jail-free card, you just got to believe and confess with your mouth, and, you know, you could basically be lawless and you'll be raptured. That's basically, in a nutshell, what Paul teaches. So we're, you know, removing the leaven of the Pharisees, removing Paul, and then the leaven is his teachings and his false Messiah. And if you think about it, I was thinking about it, it says, like, you know, what I said earlier, the world, they'll hate you for my name's sake. The world has embraced J-C, J-E-S-U-S. you know, he's all over Hollywood movies, all these, like, people who confess that they sold their souls to the devil, this and that. They're at award shows, like, thank J-U-S-U-S, thank J-C's, depicting all these Hollywood movies. The whole world talks about, you know, like, today, like Christmas is all about J.C., this and that, like nativity scenes. Like, he's accepted. But when you talk about Yahusha, that's when these people, real hate comes out. They get angry. Oh, you're a Pharisee. Like
you're Judaized.
What, his name doesn't matter. Like he knows our heart. He knows our heart, but the heart is deceitful and wicked. Like, who can know it? It says Jeremiah. You know, nobody's hating the name JC. The name JC is embraced by the world. The whole world knows who he is and accepts that name. But you bring out Yahusha, they hate that name.
Yeah.
So that's prophecy.
Well, it's because they don't know that he's the greatest prophet that came after Moses, according to John 1:17-18. He's also the heart of the Father, and they are one. You know, and it goes against their separation of three separate but equal beings, and a Father and a Son and a Holy Spirit. And so their orthodox doctrine from the get-go is messed up, and now they have to go along with this Pauline doctrine because it presents a trinity, and then, or not a trinity, but a hierarchy. And when you have hierarchy, then you have other people who agree with you, and so you feel comfortable within that realm. Because you have, you know, there's strength in numbers, you know. It's hard to walk alone and stand for the truth. It's easy to go with the crowd, and that's part of the reason they're like, oh, you're wanting me to do, oh, I'm going to have to do work, because people put their beliefs and, you know, they just say, yeah, I believe, and they put that portion of their psyche in their back pocket and walk around, and then they just do all the worldly stuff and don't really ever consider why they believe what they believe or where it came from, or what is the truth of it?
Well, we got to put the truth over traditions. You know, what's the scripture where it says, like, Yahuwah, in that day, all the Gentiles will come from all the ends of the earth and say, everything we've received from our fathers is nothing but lies and vanity, where there is no profit.
Yeah.
I think
one
that's
my favorite.
Real, right?
That's Jeremiah. It's either chapter 15 or 16, verse 19.
I think it's Ezekiel.
I'll look it up.
We looked that up?
Yeah.
Like, all the lies about the Trinity and, like, Paul and, like, Paul's fake messiahs, J-E-S-U-S, and all these, like, pagan holidays instead of doing the scriptural feast days. Just all this, like, you know, Sunday worship instead of the seventh-day Shabbat.
Right. That, I think to Ezekiel, you're thinking of Ezekiel 22, verse 24 through 25, where it talks about the priests and prophets who no longer teach between the profane and the clean, and they lead their people astray.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's
amazing. But Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 19, it says, O Yahuwah, my strength and my stronghold and my refuge, in the day of distress the nation shall come to you from the ends of the earth and say, our fathers have inherited only falsehood, futility, and there is no value in them. This says that. I mean, I think the KJV says lies. Would a man make mighty ones for himself, which are not mighty ones, which is what people are celebrating today, and their Santa Claus and Christmas trees and the lawless JC that was born on this day and not during the seventh month, the month of the oath, the month of perfection, as what sevens mean, which is, you know, goes into the Shabbat, you know, the seventh day. I mean, it makes sense that the Messiah was born not at this time. Therefore, I am causing them to know, this time I cause them to know my hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is Yahuwah. That's Jeremiah 16, 19 and through 21.
Yes. I don't know about you, but especially on, like, you know, certain platforms, I'm getting, like, at the point where, like, I'm ready, like, I've already, like, presented the truth and been just attacked so many times and reviled so many times by the same people, and, like, they're just not receiving it. and it's getting to the point where, you know, I'm just ready to move on. Like, I did my part. And, like, they're always saying, like, debate. Oh, I don't want to debate. I'm like, no. Don't think about it as a debate. Think about it as, like, come. Let us reason together. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Don't think about it as I'm right, I'm wrong. Debate. You're a Pharisee.
Right.
You're self-righteous. Like, no. Like, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Like, come. Let us reason together.
Libby has a question.
I agree.
Olivia has a question.
Hey, Olivia. What's your question?
Go ahead.
Hi. Goodness. Dogs. Do you think that JC could be the image of the false image of JC could be the image of the beast, and the mark of the beast could be Paul's mark?
Yeah, 100%. What the world worships as JC, they have these paintings in their house, they have crucifix on their wall, they have statues of this image of JC, which was actually modeled off of this guy named Caesar Borgia, who was the son of a wicked pope. He was a very evil man. This is who they praise, some Greco-Roman, the son of a pope, wicked guy. Things that I don't even want to say because it's not appropriate what he did. But he's basically like a murderous sodomite. And Paul's the one who preaches this other Messiah, which connects to this image, the image that Paul, the Messiah that Paul teaches is connected to this depiction that the world worships. They have paintings in their house, like I said, statues of this false Messiah, and Paul is the root. He's his spokesman.
The false prophet.
And Paul says himself in Philemon, he says,
right, he's the false prophet, and the image of the beast is the image that he created of the true Yahusha that he distorted, which became a beast because he distorted it, and the whole world went after the beast. It makes so much sense.
That was me.
Well, yeah, and then she's right. And in Philemon 3:17, Paul himself says, be followers together, me, huge red flag. And then he says, and mark them, which walk so as ye have for an ensemble. Philemon 3:17.
Philemon what?
3:17? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. She's totally right. Olivia is totally right. Her question, wonderful question, and she was totally right. I agree. Great job, Olivia. Yeah, Olivia gets it. Why don't all these adults get it?
Right. Come, like, become as little children. Understand me.
Yeah. Because, yeah, you know, Yahuwah's ways aren't complicated.
Simple.
So, you know, the enemy's ways is confusion and wickedness, and everyone's like, you know, divide and conquer. There's so much confusion and deception. But that's what Yahusha said. They said, when they were asking about what's going to happen in the end of the world, the first thing he said, he's like, take heed that no man will deceive you. For many false prophets and false messiahs will rise and deceive many. And if possible, you know, they deceive the very elect. So, you know, the road's real narrow. So you know, I really, it would be amazing if, you know, we could, I guess it won't be confirmed until judgment, you know, that we're walking this narrow path. And, you know, I take it as a, it's like, you know, a badge of honor that even though, like the whole world is like out having a great time and partying right now, getting drunk with their families, eating unclean food at some pagan feast. Like, we're here talking scriptures and truth and exposing falsehoods and removing the leaven of Paul the Pharisee and bringing out the truth of Yahuwah and the teachings of Yahusha. And we're fellowshipping, we're reasoning, we came together to reason. And we want to come to the conclusion of all matters.
You're welcome.
You have another question?
That was really interesting to learn.
Oh, thank you, Sally.
Malachi 4 says that books are open for people like us who talk about the name of our Creator, Yahuwah Elohim. So, there's books in the Shamayim that our names are being written down in as we discuss these things.
Well, believe it or not, guys,
it's
the end of
Paul?
The program. Did you have a last thought?
Well, I'm trying to make one last point.
Ron, yes.
I was going to say, I forget where it says it, but it says there's heavenly tablets where things are written that are forever, eternal, or it says, like, the law is eternal, and, you know. So Paul had no right to come around and change the law and then, you know, throw it
right.
on the foot and cast it away, come
exactly.
away with the cross. The heavenly
yes.
tablets.
Everlasting means forever.
And then in Psalms, real quick, it says, like, the law is eternal, perfect, sweeter than honey, more desirable than anything.
Yeah.
So if the law is eternal, then it
yeah,
can't be done away with, and it can't be changed.
When he turns your heart toward him, that's how you feel about it, too.
Like a child. Unless you become as this little child, you shall not see the reign of Elohim. That's a powerful sentence.
Yeah. What's the verse? Was that in Malachi where it says, yeah, I'm Yahuwah, I change not? Is that Malachi?
Yes.
I believe Malachi 4:6 or Hosea 4:6. My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's Hosea. Yes, yeah, Malachi 4:6. That it's.
And I think it says
I'm
in chapter
Yahuwah,
3 of Malachi.
Was 3? Was verse 6.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's basically, it's easy enough for a child to understand. If Yahuwah changes not and his law is forever, then his law is forever and he changes not. We can't have some new guy come and just change everything and say it's done away with. Like, no, he's not the Most High. Like, he's not even qualified to be what he says he is, you know?
Yeah, he never even saw the Messiah before or after the resurrection.
Yep, it's Malachi 3:6. For I am Yahuwah, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. All right, well, everyone have
That's
a wonderful day, and it was great to get together in fellowship.
It was. Y'all be Baruch.
Always.
Most favorite.